Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I was sitting here this morning, and Pastor Craig started preaching, and I thought, he's talking about some things that I was going to talk about. Not necessarily. No one could ever say it like Craig said it. Now, you understand that. But and I thought, well, I'm going to change. But then the more I looked at things this afternoon just to refresh myself, I'm going to pick up on the same subject of the time that we live in, but go a little bit different direction. And not that he needs anything added to, but evidently the Lord wanted us to hear this today because he talked about it and preached on it this morning, and I'm going to talk about it tonight. So I want us to go to Romans chapter 13, if you will. Romans chapter 13. And we'll begin with verse 8. How many of you know there's a debt we will never pay? Isn't that right? The debt of love. You're never going to pay that off. You're always going to owe it. God loved us first. We love him, but then he puts his love in us so that we can love others. And if there's ever a time that people in the world need to be loved, it's now. And not love the way the world loves. You know, the way the world loves is of this world. If you think about it, the wisdom of the world is sensual, earthly, and the Bible says devilish. The love of the world is demonic in its origin because it's ultimately selfish. It's not real love. It's not self-sacrifice. It's not given regardless of your response to it. It's not the love of God at all, is it? Let's read here in Romans 13. We're going to read verse 8, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. I'm going to read it from the King James Bible, and if I take out some THs and these and thous, you'll understand, okay? Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, shall not kill. Really, literally murder is what it means there. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, you might underline that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So he talks about this idea of love, and he gets that if you love, you fulfilled all the commandments. You fulfilled the law. And he says in verse 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Some other translations here, the Berean Study Bible says, love does no wrong to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The New King James, love does no harm to its neighbor. I like Weymouth's translation here also. Weymouth says, love avoids doing any wrong to one's fellow man and is therefore complete obedience to the law. And so then, having said that, he gets here to verse 11. And I like how this is said here. Let me switch over to the... I've got two different translations up here. The Passion Bible then says in verse 11, to live like this is all the more urgent, for time is running out. And you know it is a strategic hour in human history. Now, sometimes, you know, we think about, some folks think about, well, time's running out, and they start getting self-absorbed. And they start thinking about all the things they need to do to take care of themselves. Time's running out. But he's saying this, if we understand the time, then it's time to start loving like God loves. To know it and to go out after paying off that debt of love to people. Now we know God just doesn't love us, his children. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's everybody in the world. That's not just those of us who are Christians. That's everybody. The Bible says he makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. God is good to all. His tender mercies are over all of his works. He's full of compassion. Amen? And so in these days, we need to discern the time. It is that time. It is a strategic hour in human history. And he says, the passion says, it's time for us to wake up. To wake up. Isn't that another way to say revive? That's what Pastor Craig was talking about this morning. It's time for revival. But where does it start? It starts with you. It starts with me. And as an individual, it starts with me. I've got to wake up. So when you're reading that, you know, a lot of times, you know, if we're not careful, we see that and we say, well, yeah, I know so-and-so. They really need to wake up. I wish they'd wake up. Amen. Or as some people say today, to get woke. Whatever, get woke, whatever that means. Okay? But it's time to wake up. So when I read that, like I say, Tad, wake up. And then he goes on here and says what we're to do. Verse number 12 says, the reason is because our salvation or our final redemption, how many of you know we're saved here on earth? Yes, thank God. How many of you know we're redeemed? But part of our redemption is eternity with God. We have that life in us now, but we're nearer that time now in the history of mankind than we ever have been. Amen? And those of us that are more mature than some of the rest of you, we're closer to it if he tarries. But our redemption is drawing near. And so it's not time to take a nap. It's time to wake up. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Hallelujah. I took a nap today. I went to physically, you might need a nap. But I took a nap and I told Amanda what time to wake me up. And she came in and I was startled. I couldn't believe it was that time already. I wanted to rebuke the devil or something. It can't be that time already. I just laid down. I mean, come on. Glory to God. But our salvation's nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12 says, night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. We are entering this time. This is our destiny, folks. This is the church's destiny. It's the child of God's destiny to be alive during these last days. We could have been here any other time on the earth, but God chose you to be here now. It's our destiny. It's our time. Know the time, discern the time. He says, so we must once and for all strip away what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy clothes. And once and for all, we should clothe ourselves with the radiance light as our weapon. Be clothed, he said. Put on the armor of light, the armor of God. Amen. And shine. Verse 13 says, we must live honorably, surrounded by the light of this new day. Listen to this. Not in the darkness of drunkenness and debauchery. It's amazing. I know things go in cycles. I used to hear that. Well, if you live long enough, you'll see things come around. Well, I guess I've lived long enough because I've seen things come around. But, this it's kind of moving away from it now, but it's still lingering there that it's okay what you do. You know, it's all God anyway. So God will flow through you. God will minister because he loves people. It doesn't matter to you. I'm telling you right now, if you don't have a clean vessel, God may honor the word, but you're not going to last. There was, if we go back and do some study on some of those that were used mightily during the healing revival. There's only three that came out of it. And they were three people that believed in holiness. Amen. A lot of folks, they had mighty great miracles, great things took place. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. And we're going to have signs and wonders and miracles in these days. Not just from the pulpits, not just from the ministry, but from the body of Christ. However, it's time for us to put off the things of darkness, take off the filthy clothes, put on the armor of light. Not in drunkenness and debauchery, not in promiscuity and sensuality. One translation says chambering. I was like, chambering? So what's that? Then I finally looked it up in a commentary, and it said fornicating. Oh, I know what the, okay. Chambering. That's a nice way of saying that, I guess. But it's time. But you know, this idea that it's okay, you know, it's okay if I drink alcohol, it's okay if I take, you know, I do this, it's okay, you know, if I, you know, well, we love one another, it's okay if we sleep together, it's okay, all these, if we chamber. It's all right, God still loves me, and by His grace, He's gonna, no. He's saying here, this is the grace preacher, Paul, saying it's time to wake up in these days. Why? Because we have to be a vessel of love, and love's not flowing. The God kind of love's not flowing. Amen. He goes on here to say, not being argumentative or jealous of others. You know, envy and strife. What is one of the hallmarks of this year been? Envy and strife. Lots of strife. But that wisdom's not from above. That's of the that's devilish. That's demonic. That's earthly. And it's been, you know, it really, to be honest with you, for me, it's been, my biggest thing this year is to avoid bitterness. Amen? Because I'm telling you, you just sit there and you look and you say, I don't believe someone that breathes the same air that I breathe could think that way. And my temptation is just to get in strife and then I just have to turn off the social media for a while and I feel a lot better. What did Pastor Craig say this morning? He turned off the TV. Turn off the news. I just have to do it. And you can ask my wife. She said, you're getting that way again. Oh, sorry. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't shout about that, but that's all right. But what should we do? I like the passion here, verse 14. Fully immerse ourselves into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. I like the Weiss translation. He says here in, let's see, verse 11, or verse 10, I'm sorry, he says, the aforementioned love does not work evil to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And this, knowing the strategic season, that it is an hour now for you to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believe. The night has long been on its way, and the day has arrived. Therefore, let us at once and once for all put off the works of darkness. And let us at once and once for all clothe ourselves with the weapons of the light. In the same manner as in the day, let us order our behavior in a seemly fashion, not in carousals and drunkenness, not in sexual intercourse and dissolute abandon, not in strife and jealousy, but clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know one translation actually says, put on Christ. Put on Christ. What does that mean? Dress, be like Christ. Be Christ. Now, you're not going to die and go, you don't have to go to the cross. That's already been done. But live like Christ. Put on the armor. Look like God. Be Christ to this world. Be a Christian. Amen? Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and stop making provision for the sinful nature with the view of a passionate craving. So, all of this then, this knowing the time, you know, now throughout the Bible, they're knowing the time talks about all the, you know, that the time is at hand, that we're told not to sleep. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5, I'm sorry, I didn't want to read this. I'm going to read this from the King James upstairs. I didn't give you this. Oops, sorry about that. I'm apologizing to the pulpit here, sorry. All right. Glory to God. Now, he'd been talking about some things here in the first six verses that, you know, that the wrath of God's going to come upon. in that day upon people that practice these things. He said, we shouldn't do that. Look at verse 7, Ephesians 5, 7. Be not therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live like who you are. Not just on the inside, but on the outside. For the fruit of the Spirit, look at that, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, I wonder if we could achieve the reputation that Jesus had because he was so good. Now remember now, when people came in contact with Jesus, they changed. See, that's what the world wants you to love people and accept them and tolerate their sin. Jesus never did that. He loved them, accepted them as a person, but he never tolerated their sin. Even at the probably the greatest story of his mercy and forgiveness, neither do I condemn you, to the woman caught in the very act of adultery. What did he say? But go and sin no more. Right? And so here he's saying that we have goodness. Could we have the same reputation that he had amongst religious people, that they called him a friend of sinners? Now remember, when people came to him, they didn't stay a sinner. Right? They made a change, but he was so good. So good that the sinner wanted to be in his presence. You know, folks out there are hurting. Folks, I mean, in the church, but let's talk about outside. People are hurting. They're not happy. They've been sold a lie by the devil that all these things, if they just do this, they'd be happy. And the more they do it, the more miserable they get. And they're looking for something that's real, something that is good. And God has raised us up. Why are we still here? We're citizens of heaven. We could have gone immediately. The moment you accept Jesus as your Lord, you could go immediately and reside in heaven itself. But he left us here as ambassadors of his goodness. He is good. He wants us to be of that. But notice, it's not just goodness, it's righteousness and truth. How many know the truth needs to be spoken in love? I love you, so I'm going to tell you the truth. What you're doing is going to send you to hell. But you don't have to go. Your sins have already been forgiven. Come to God. Be reconciled to God. Being so good. He goes on to say, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret of them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Now hear verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake you that sleep. Isn't that what we read in Romans? Awake you that sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you the light. Awake. Awake. So here's what we need to awake to, by putting on Christ, putting off that old, and putting on Christ, so that we can fulfill the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. The message of love. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to read this from the King James, and then a lot of you have heard it from the Amplified. But in the Spirit-Filled Life Bible that was published by Jack Hafer's ministry, there is another translation of these verses 4 through 8, that I want to read tonight. But first of all, let's read this from the King James. Now, the King James Bible, in trying to translate and get a good translation of the word agape from the Greek, you know, that Greek, they came up with charity, because charity is selfless giving. But charity today for us doesn't mean that. That means an organization that you support, right? If I say charity, you think, okay, what are we supporting? So we're going to say, instead of charity, I'm going to say love. Is that all right? I know it's in the King James's charity, but I'm going to say love. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Boy, we could stop there. You know, a lot of folks are suffering, but they're not very kind about it. I point at myself here. You know, I'm not just, this is all of us. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. Vaunt, and I got a little note that says it's not rash. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Of course, verse 13 says, now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is what? Love. You know, this ministry has a mandate here. And the entire Rhema family has the same mandate. To take the message of faith and teach each generation faith. But you can't teach faith outside of love. That's why there's so much. You look at the different, you know, to me, and we have a lot of great books, but there's a book that we have called Love, the Way to Victory. To me, that's the greatest healing book I've ever read. Because if you get yourself, when you do those things that's in there, then you can receive and minister in the power of God. But anyway, let's look at this. So love is so important because it's what's the greatest. Look here at what he says. This is the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It says, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Don't point at anybody. Having patience with imperfect drivers. You know, it's a good thing that everything we say doesn't come to pass. Amen. Love is kind. And listen to this. Active in doing good. I like that. Active. You know, love is not content to sit over here and watch. Love has to get involved. The Lord is full of compassion. How many times does the Bible say that Jesus was moved with compassion? And when he was, he did something. A miracle took place, right? Compassion. I read this somewhere. I don't know where I read it. I wish I could remember. But since I can't remember, it's my saying now. Compassion is love with its sleeves rolled up. Amen? Well, have you ever had to roll your sleeves up so you can get to work? You know what we're talking about? That's compassion. Love does not envy. Since it is non-possessive and non-competitive, it actually wants others to get ahead. See, I'm not competing against you. I'm not competing against you in the things of God. I'm not after what God. I'm not after what you've got. I've got my own. God's given me plenty. You know, really, God's given every one of us more than we could ever accomplish without his help. So I'm not competing against you. Right? Now, that doesn't mean we don't play till we win. We win. There's a difference there. Because don't ever let the devil get you complacent and passive. Just, you know, who was it, Doris Day? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. That's complacency. That's passivity. That if you allow that, the devil just run you right over. See, how's that start? Well, there's really not a devil. Don't think about demons. We don't want to talk. Well, then you've gotten complacent in there. You got an enemy that you don't even acknowledge. Right? Well, you know, I've been doing some study here on healing and miracles from the early church on, and I was reading after a three-volume set and reading about some things, and how from about 600 to about 1500, there came a time where they decided that healing, that sickness was actually a blessing from God to make you more pious. And it was interesting how that progressed, to read that progression in their thinking, and then how it became then wrong to ask for healing. It was a sign of weakness. But it wasn't a sign of weakness in the early church. Jesus never said to anyone, well, you're here asking for healing, you're weak, aren't you? No, he never said that, did he? But it's interesting how that developed. And then, if you want to be healed, you have to have special water, you had to have special anointing, you had to have all these special. It became through relics. Amen. But there's always been a stream throughout the church of somebody who dared to believe God. Amen. And they'd have things. Sometimes they had them happen. They didn't even know how they happened. They just happened. Why? Because God's good. All right. He goes on here to say, I like that, wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. I don't know what that is, but I don't want to be that. That's like an abomination. You know, if I say to you, the abomination of the desolation, you don't know what it is, but you don't want to be around for it. Right? That's one of those old words. He's talking about here not being prideful. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. Now listen to this. It does not keep an account of the wrongs done to it, even if they were from the other political party. Either if they did enact laws you didn't agree with. No, I'm not keeping report. I'm not keeping track of it. I am going to live victorious over it. But instead it says, love erases resentment. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Now listen to this. Finding satisfaction in the shortcoming of others and spreading an evil report. I don't know about you, but I know when I first started being involved, where I was old enough to vote, and my first presidential election was the Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter presidential race. So that was the first time I was old enough to vote in elections. And it always has seemed, you know, in certain times, it is more volatile than others. Of course, this year it's been very. But I've always felt like, listen, tell us what you're going to do, not how bad this guy is or she is. Because that there's something about that that is evil in its nature. It could even be true, but are we spreading an evil report? Are we finding satisfaction in the shortcoming of others? I mean, this may not be speaking to you tonight, but it is to me, all right? It says, rather it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, never giving up on people, never giving up on people, never giving up on people. Well, they're done. Never giving up on people. They're about God. Never giving up on people. They're never giving up on people. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish? Some people say, well, why hasn't Jesus come back yet, you? And others like you and me, that if he had come back, we'd have missed. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Those that are out there. So people, it's not his will that any would go to hell. He says, let's see. It rejoices, love bears all things, believes the best of others, credits them with good intentions, believes the best of others. I like that. Defending and holds other people up. Credits people with good intentions. Is not suspicious. Uh-oh. Love hopes all things. Never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. So go back with me to Romans, and let's look at this. Let's finish this up here. So, recognizing the time that we're in. And really, you know, I don't think we have to have a whole lot of spiritual discernment to realize that these are tough times. These are dark times. All right? And as Pastor Craig said this morning, the Bible never says it's going to get better in the world. Now, it does say we can live victorious over. We're redeemed from the world. We're in the world, but not of it. The world's crucified unto us, and we're crucified unto it. But we are ministering and reaching people in this world. All right? But knowing the time, that now, everybody say now. Now it's time to do what? To love your neighbor as yourself. And to ask yourself in this question. Now, I got this from years ago as I was a student. I'd never heard anybody say it before, but I heard it in class. Brother Hagin said, ask yourself this question. Is what I'm about to do or say going to cause harm to my brother or sister? Ask yourself that question ahead of time. So many times we ask afterwards, oh, did I do harm? We got to ask ourselves. We got to think. In other words, in order to do this, this is not something we cannot just accidentally love the world. We have to wake up, put on Christ, put off that old, put on Christ, and on purpose, love one another. Love them as we love ourselves. It's interesting that Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, by the love that you have one for another, there in John 13. How's the world going to know? Love. Love. Now listen, this isn't for wimps. This isn't for weak people to love. To walk away when you like to stand and do something out of love. To be good to somebody and they never respond back. To pray for those who despitefully use you. Bless them that curse you. This is not for the weak. It's not for wimps. I love what God told Jeremiah in chapter 1. He said, don't look at their faces. You say what I told you to say, paraphrasing, but don't even look at their faces. Don't look at their countenance. You do what I told you, and I'll deliver you from them. So we got a choice tonight. We can be like Jeremiah, or we can be Wimpaniah. Love is a total abandonment of caring for myself so that I can care for you. Let me say that again. Love is a total abandonment of caring for myself so that I can care for you. Because all my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus has me. He's redeemed me. He's put his spirit in me. That same life that raised Christ from the dead is in me. It's quickening my mortal body. It's taking care of me. I'm doing what he says, and he's taking care of me. So I don't have me on my mind anymore. I'm waking up. I got to know the time. And this is the time that we're here for. It's the greatest time to be alive in the history of the world. It's also the most dangerous time to be alive, probably. Spiritually and naturally in a lot of cases. But we got what it takes. That's why this message of faith is so important. And faith that works by love is so important that we understand it. So that we can go by faith and call things that be not as though they were. Speak, see the mountain be removed. Not just so we can lavish the blessings on ourselves, but so that we have the means necessary to love the world. Amen. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God. Help us to wake up. To wake up. Father, we know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It won't be long, Father. It's not going to be long for this world. The end is coming. We can see it. But Father, we thank you and we praise you that you've placed within us the body, your children. Father, let Rhema Bible Church be that light. Let it be clothed with light. Let us be known as a place of love, of goodness and righteousness and truth. Where the sinner can come and find help. Where the Christian can come and find help and love, protection, and deliverance, and salvation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for it. But let it begin, first of all, in us. Why don't you raise your hand right now before, just as a witness before God, and you just tell God, consecrate, God, I consecrate myself afresh and anew. I'm wake up, Lord God. I'm awake. I see. I'm awake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unfruitful works, you have to go. Father, help me. Show those things to me that I can peel them off, get rid of them, and that I can put on Christ. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. If you're here tonight, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Today is that day. Or maybe we just prayed and dedicated ourselves, but maybe it's more serious than that for you. You've kind of just abandoned the Christian walk. You're here at church tonight. Or maybe you've been tricking and fooling everybody. You know, God knows, but He still loves you. If you come home like the prodigal came home, He's there waiting. Maybe you want to come home tonight. If you've never accepted Jesus, or you want to just come home, not to a church, not to a man, but to God, I want to pray for you. But in order to pray for you, I need to know who you are, so I need you to lift your hand. If you would just be bold, if you want me to pray that prayer for you. You need to know Jesus, or you want to come home. Restore fellowship. Looking around, looks like everybody's, just ask your neighbor, you okay? You okay? Let's all stand together then. Do we have one person? Did one person raise their hand? Did somebody raise their hand? Yes. Yeah, back there. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and we're gonna say this prayer. If you raised your hand after service, Greg, where are you? Come down right down here and see Greg. He wanna get you some material. But we're all gonna pray this prayer. You ready? Say this, Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I come because I've heard of your goodness. I heard of the life of Jesus, how he died for my sins, but he rose again that I might be alive. He died that I might live. He arose that I might arise. And so right now, I declare with my mouth that Jesus is alive. And I confess him now as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you, Father, that I am a Christian. I'm your child. And I live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I didn't want to hurry through that. If you prayed that prayer, come down here and see Greg. And he wants to get you some material here from the church. Praise the Lord.